Talk for today, I'll be
really honest with you guys, okay? Because I'm trying to practice, something. You know, and some people have heard me share this, but I think one thing that I've been trying to grow in is just my. Just being free. You know, and some of you guys might say, you're pretty free, dude. You need to be less free. What I mean by that is, you know, I found in my heart a lot of fear of, you know, just condemnation, fear of shame, fear of disappointing you guys or not reaching certain expectations. And you know, like, I'm sure, I hope it's kind of understandable why that could be the case. Maybe it's not, but, you know, whatever it is, what it is. And so I think part of that is just being, you know, not being afraid to be imperfect and not being afraid to be very honest. Not that, like, I lie to you guys about anything. But I'll just say this. This week, it was hard for me to find time to prepare a message, you know, throughout the week. Usually Thursday is my message day. And I don't even remember what happened, but just a busy week. A lot of stuff's going on. And so last night, I came home, and I was like, all right, time to, really finish this. And, you know, you guys know we're not, like, in a series right now. And I was thinking of so many things, like, all right, what's a message I've used that I know really well and, that they probably don't remember or who cares about that, you know, even if they do. And I, just so much stuff was going on in my mind. And I remember I like went through like at least 20 different, you know, ideas. And I was just praying to God, but it was really awesome time because I started that time by really genuinely, you know, and I just wrote it down literally. I can read it to you actually. I'll read to you what I wrote. I do this a lot as I'm thinking or doing work. I just talk to God as I type. And this is what I wrote. I wrote, what do you want me to talk about tomorrow, Lord? And then it says, nothing. And then it says, anything. But that's how I started my time. I just said, God, what do you want me to say? And I just sat there thinking and praying for, a good, like, almost like 4 hours. You know, I didn't sleep till like after 4. I'm not saying this so you guys like feel bad or anything, but I was just like sitting there. I was like, God, what do you want me to say? And it was a really cool time because from my heart, I was like, God, tomorrow I want to share like what I believe you want to say to our people. And I'm not saying that, this is the only message like that, okay? I'm not saying that, you know, if you have a series planned out that God doesn't work through that. But, that's just kind of how I prayed. And I felt like, you know, after going through so many different things, I had a lot of peace. And I just felt like this is what he wanted to say. And I felt like he wanted to talk about maybe some teaching or some truth that's in the passage in Luke 10, verse 38. You guys know this passage. But I think it's just, I feel like it's something God wants to talk to us about. So, let me read it for us and we'll just continue. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And we all know this story, and everyone reads it, and they're like, man, I hate Mary, you know, and, because you're like, I'm a Martha. Everyone, every time I do this, a Bible study or retreat, and like people share, it's like, I hear this like 99.9% of the time. Someone raises their hand, they say, I'm a Martha. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. Everyone's a Martha. You know, And I think we just, I realized like, this is how we feel. We just realize, like, man, I hate Mary. I'm a Martha. I don't think that's necessarily what God's trying to say, but I think the reason that the Lord put this on my heart, or I felt that He put it on my heart, yesterday I was just thinking, going back to last night, I was like, what do I talk about, God? And so many things came to my mind. You know, Jonah, Daniel, you know, you have a great message for the book of Jonah. You know, you'll just, you know, wow everybody. You know, it's a good message. You know, and I was like, man, you know, use that and talk about forgiveness. I was like, yeah, we need to practice forgiveness. We're not good at forgiving each other. And I thought about, you know, man, but you know, Jesus talks so much about helping poor people and feeding the poor and helping the sick and the marginalized. And where is that in our church today? And I was like, no, that's what we need to talk about. Our church stinks at that, you know, like I stink at that. And we have no compassion for the poor when Jesus cared so much about the poor and the marginalized. I was like, yeah, that's what we need to talk about. And I was like, no. I was like, man, you know what? Our church, we don't read the Bible enough. I had to talk about that. Like something about reading the Bible. And I was just going through all these things. But it was like, I felt like I didn't feel peace. I was like, man, God, I don't think this is what you're saying. While some of these things may be true, I don't feel like that's what you're actually saying right now. And I felt like, at the end of the night, he just said this. He just said, I just want you to tell everybody that I really want them to seek me. To like really seek me from the bottom of their hearts. To want me, to know that this is about relationship. And I was just like, whoa, like, that's what I need to hear. And I think we see that perfectly here in this passage. You know, everyone hates Martha, right? And everyone thinks that Martha is the responsible one. And we're like, I'm a type A person like Martha. I'm a responsible person like Martha. And like, I hate those Mary type of people. Mary types of people where, you know, they don't care about anything. And they're just like, oh, just pray about it. You know, like, oh, everything's going to be okay. Don't worry. Yeah, I say that all the time, right? You know, that's me. You know, oh, I hate Marys. They think everything's going to be fine. Literally, someone said, I won't say who, but someone in our church said to me, and it's not an embarrassing thing, it's just funny. They said, good thing Martha was there to cover for Mary. That's what that person said. And I was like, dude, you're a Martha. that person admitted that he or she was a Martha. Anyway, that's how I think we view this. We're like, Marthas are the responsible types. And we think it's a personality issue. I think a lot of times that's what we see in this passage. It's a personality thing. I'm not a Mary personality. And we assume that Mary's that, you know, whimsical, carefree person. But I think that's an assumption. So I don't think that's the point. I don't think God's saying there are certain personalities that are better than others. I just see here two sisters. And I see that one found what really mattered. She found the one thing that was necessary, that was needed, the one thing that would not be taken away from her. And it's not even clear what that is. It's not really explicit, is it? But all we know is this. We just have this picture where Mary is this person who's just sitting at the feet of Jesus and just saying, just speak to me, just talk to me. And that imagery is different even from this. So I'm talking to you guys, and hopefully some of you are listening, right? But none of you are sitting at my feet. That means something. It's this picture of intimacy. It's a picture of a relationship and not a lecture. I feel like for a lot of us, God, you know, He is... What is God to us, man? I feel like He is... just ideas. He's just beliefs. He's just doctrine. That's what Christianity is. It's just doctrine. It's just stuff we believe. It's just stuff in our heads. It's ideas. It's just words. And that's what, to a lot of us, Christianity has become, or our faith. Our faith, you know, honestly, what our faith is? I think for a lot of us, our faith is a lecture that you attend once a week, hopefully and maybe for the rest of your lives. That's the enrollment period, from, you know, rebirth to death, okay? And, you know, and there's a homework attached to that lecture, which is, you know, be fairly moral. Read the textbook here and there when you have time. And, you know, just try to attend class as much as you can. And hopefully you get a C and you pass and you go to heaven. That's our faith. I feel like that describes a lot of our relationship with God. It's not like an actual relationship with a person. Like, you know, the Bible says God is our Father. He loves us like children, like a perfect father. He says he loves us like we are his bride, as if we are his bride. Think of what that language suggests. What is it saying about a relationship with God? But for most of us, our relationship with God is like that of a somewhat boring professor and students who are somewhat interested. Feel very obligated to come to class, you can pass, get the grade, you know, make sure you graduate. Is that what this is about? Is that why I'm here? You have to make sure you guys pass the class? To provide the lectures so that you can have enough credits to make it into heaven? I hope not. And I felt like God was saying that to me. He was saying, what are you doing? What's your purpose on Sundays? Is it to give a good lecture? What's your purpose as a pastor? Is to give entertaining lectures? Is it to, you know, give a talk once a week that's good enough to get the people to do some of their homework? And I felt like he was saying, that's not why you're there, Daniel. And that's not why I all these people, that's not who I've called them to be. They're not first my students, they're my children. The church is not a classroom first, it's my bride. And yeah, we learn. It is like a classroom in some ways, but first, we're the bride of Christ. And try to jump over that kind of intellectual hurdle where you're like, especially the guys are like, dude, I'm a bride, that's weird. I mean, I hope you guys understand the metaphor there. It's like, that's the relationship that God calls us into. That's what we see here. We don't even know what's going on. We just see this picture of Mary sitting at her Lord's feet. She's not like sitting in a chair with her legs crossed. Tell me what you think about the president. Tell me what you think about this issue or that social issue. Tell me, why do you exist? That's not what we see there. She's like, dude, I need to be at your feet right now. I can't even just be face to face with you. I just want to sit at your feet. It's like that woman who is in sin and she comes to Jesus, and that story is so beautiful. There's not even dialogue. She just comes in to a stranger's house and starts weeping and pouring perfume on Jesus and wiping away her tears off of his feet with her hair. That's like a pretty powerful encounter. And I think God wants that with us. I don't think it's just for people in the Bible 2,000 years ago. I think God wants that so much with us right now. That's why he says, you're my children. For some of us, our relationships with our parents are a little messed up. But a good father loves spending time with his kids. A good husband loves spending time with his wife. That's the picture that God gives us. He says, I love to be with you. I want to be with you. And I want you to be with me. I want you to want to be with me. And I feel like what God was saying was, before all this Bible reading and prayer and, you know, evangelizing and hanging out with each other and having compassion for the marginalized and the poor, before going on missions, spreading the word, spreading the kingdom, before doing all these things, before a bunch of doing. Because we always hear that from God. What do you feel like God's saying to you? I need to read the Bible more. I need to do more homework. I need to do this more, that more. I'm not doing this enough. And it's always like we hear God saying, you need to be better. You're not good enough. I don't think that's God, actually. I think that's you. I think that's your parents, your culture, your own expectations of others and of yourself. When God says, I just want you to be here with me. I want you to meet me. And then when that happens, you'll see that you have a heart of worship and you want to serve me. And I think that's when he's like, right there. That's, you know, we read the Bible not so that we've read the Bible. We read the Bible because we want to know God more. Because we want to be close with him relationally. We want to know him like we know a friend, like we know a person, because he is. That's what, he made us to be in a relationship. He's not this distant, you know, just this distant boss that just peeks in once in a while. Are you doing your work? Okay, good. All right, bye. Then why does he say Father? Why does he call us bride? Why does he say he's a lover of our souls? He'll fill our every need. Water for the thirsty. You know, I think that's what God's saying to us, guys. Just, he's saying, seek me. You know, seek me. I want you to know me. I want you to know me. You guys know a lot in your head. Another problem I had last night, I said, I thank God I've preached everything I know in the past 3 months. I said, God, what? I've preached everything. Like, I've already preached about all the stuff I mentioned earlier. I've preached about, you know, reading the Bible. I've preached about, you know, helping the poor. And God, they know so much. They already know a lot. Some of these people have been in church since they were like, they couldn't read. Since before they could understand English. They've heard everything. And I felt like God was saying, dude, it's not about what they have heard or haven't heard. It's not about trying to like show them something new. So we come, right? We come to church and it's like, I've already heard that. I already heard this before. It's not what it's about. It's not about, man, can I learn something new today? Because you already know everything in one sense. In another sense, we are ever not knowing enough. You know that God loves you. But do you really know that God loves you? Do you really understand that? No one can say, I understand, it's just not enough. No, you don't get it. I don't think you get it. I don't think I get it. I think that the fact that we can look at each other and say, God loves me. God loves you. Jesus died for our sins with a straight face, often with zero emotion, shows how little we know God. I think the fact that we can sing songs that so beautifully depict the gospel and God's love and just utilize music as an expression of our emotion and passion and devotion to God with zero emotion. You know, kind of like, Jesus, what time is it? That's not, see, you know, I don't want to say, stop doing that. What's wrong with you? I want to say, you don't know God enough. If you just met him, he wants to show you more of him. Because trust me, you can't meet him and worship like that. You can't meet him and just say, God loves me so flippantly. It doesn't just come out. You just can't do that. And I'm not saying this to condemn us. It's nothing to be condemned of. It's just God saying, look, don't forget what you really need. You know, you guys, you don't need to just do a bunch of stuff right now. It's not the point. That's not the primary issue. I think God's saying, man, you You can say my name so easily and so lightly. You have no idea how much I love you. You have no idea how good I am. And he's saying, I want you to know that. I want so much for you to know that. Would you just come and seek me? And would you just come and seek me? And we lose sight of that. We lose sight of that. And I think that God wanted to just remind you guys of that. Remind me of that today. Of that sweet call. How sweet, how beautiful is it that the God of the creator of the universe, Almighty God, wants so much for you to come to him as you are. And just say, God, I want to know you more. How beautiful is that? We long for that, don't we? Don't we long to hear that from our Heavenly Father? Don't we long to hear that from people in general? I just want you to come to me. I want you to want to be with me, to want to know me. That's God's call for you today, for the rest of your lives. He's saying, come near. Come as you are. I want you to know me. And I want to change you because of that, through that. I want to give you life. I want to give you freedom. I want to heal you. I want to bless you. I want to clear your shame and your insecurities and your anxieties, your fear, your doubt, all these things. Just come and meet me. And I pray that that will be our prayer every day. God, I want to know you more. God, meet me. And I don't see why God would not answer that prayer. And I'll just end with this. I think a lot of us maybe are saying, I have prayed that before, but nothing happened. You know, I think we often, you know, it's just, God, I want to know you more. And it's like, all right, no. No, like, you know, fire from heaven right now. No, you know, miracle before my eyes. God, you're not here. Dude, he's here. He's with you. But I think he just wants you to listen. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you want to talk to somebody and they're like, hey, what do you have to say to me? What do you have to say to me? Just tell me. And you're across the room. Just tell me. I got to go. Tell me now. If you have something to say, just tell me because I'm busy. What? You don't want to talk? Okay, bye. See, he doesn't want to talk to me. When I think God's like, no, no, come here. Come here. I want to put my arm around you and whisper it in your ear. So that's the relationship I want with you. I don't want to just be shouting across the room so that you can go do your thing. God says that's not how a father and a children are supposed to be. That's not how spouses are supposed to love each other. It's not just tell me what I need to know so I can go on with my day. He says, come here, let me whisper in your ear. Just sit with me. Just sit with me. Sit at my feet. Just be with me. This is a relationship that God calls us into. So I want to invite us to have a little bit of time to just practice that today. You know, I think it's very rare, actually, for us to just have a moment of pause, of silence, of reflection, and just to invite God into that space, knowing that he'll come. Even if in this time that I'm going to give you guys, just interact with God, to just be at his feet. Don't think that he's not there. Even if your thoughts are just like, man, why am I doing this? Or why are all these weird thoughts coming in my mind? God's with you, and I'll bet you he's actually trying to reveal something to you. He's speaking to you through whatever's going on in your head. And I encourage you guys, I invite you guys to have faith that right now, God is going to meet you. He's going to meet you. Maybe not in the way that you expect, but he will meet you. And I'll just end with this reference to Elijah, great man of God in the Bible. He did wonderful acts of faith. And remember, he wants to meet the Lord. And all these crazy things happen. This earth-splitting earthquake, this fire, and all these really spectacular things happen. And in each thing, he says, God's not in them. And at the last moment, he hears a still, small voice, a quiet whisper of God's affirmation and love, saying, I am here. So have faith. God will meet you. I believe that. And lift up a prayer for our time. And then I just invite you guys to just give this 5 minutes to God. You know, and just say, God, I want to meet you. Just talk to me. Be with me. Okay, let me pray real quick and then give you guys time.